Welcome to the class. We are going on a healing journey. This is a sex addiction recovery course, but we're not going to focus on sexual compulsive behavior as much as you might think. We're going to focus on healing. We're going to heal our brains. You might have seen images like this. There on the right is the addicted brain. There on the left is the healthy brain. And you see the healthy brain is full and capable of the neurons flowing freely through the through the pathways without being blocked. And then you have the addicted brain. There's lots of holes and blockages. And then let's go to the next picture. This is a brain scan, and they say the healthy brain shows more activity, and the lights are brighter, showing more activity, and the addicted brain is duller, showing that there's pathways blocked and not as much activity and kind of stuck in terms of the way that some mental processes are done. And it's the same, here we say the addicted brain, but these brain scans and images are the same, whether it's healthy brain versus depression or healthy brain versus PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. The brain on the right in all those cases are the same. So the brain on the left is going to be healthy. The brain on the right is going to have issues like impulsivity, poor emotion regulation, maybe some ADHD-like symptoms, depression, feeling discontent, frustrated or angry, reactive, cut off in traffic, the guy on the left, the brain on the left, he's going to be okay. The guy on the right is going to probably struggle in that moment. We want total healing of the brain, not just sobriety from sexual compulsive behavior. That's the way that we're going to find long-term healing and long-term ability to control our behavior the way we want to. So you may look at these images and think, that's just depressing. I'm screwed. My brain is messed up, and no wonder I have so many of these issues in my life. But there is a thing called neuroplasticity, where the brain can heal. The brain, you can move your brain from the brain on the right to the brain on the left. This is not a permanent state. And so we are going to heal our brains with this concept of neuroplasticity. The brain is has a built-in function to rebuild and to rebuild these neural pathways and to fix itself if we can do the right things to fix it. And that's what we're going to do. This is going to be a practice. You see this image of the guy getting fit, and you know he went from the before to after. It took a little bit of work. And you might be thinking, this sounds too hard. It's going to require too much discipline and hard work, and I've tried that. I've tried so many programs, and I've done 12 steps, and I've been disciplined. There's nobody more disciplined than me. I can get that body on the right, or you know, I can in my work. I'm very disciplined, or in other areas, I'm very disciplined. It just doesn't work in this sexual compulsive behavior area, and so. This is not a discipline, a thing. We want the hard work, and the discipline is going to be in working this program, working our healing steps, but it's not going to be the kind of white knuckling kind of discipline that you've probably experienced before of just trying to get sober, and I'm 5 days sober, now I'm 12 days sober, now I'm 3 months sober, but I could never get past that because it just requires so much effort and discipline and white knuckling that I just haven't been able to be successful. This is not that kind of work. This kind of work is very doable. You do the work, and it's just naturally going to happen, and it's not going to be that white knuckling kind of difficult work. Okay, this picture here is your image of the brain, and we need to understand our brains. If we're going to heal our brains, we need to understand this, okay? We have the prefrontal cortex is right here in the front. That's where we do all of our logical thinking, and this is where we do our high executive thinking. This is what makes us humans. If we go backwards, we start with the brainstem and the amygdala, and that is essentially the first part of how we evolved. We call that the reptilian brain. This amygdala is what causes the fight or flight or freeze response to trauma. And so whenever you felt flooded, whenever you felt that, you know, cut off in traffic and you just feel flooded and you feel your heart beats faster and your skin gets flush and your breathing is elevated and your muscles tense and you're ready to take action, that's the amygdala creating that response. And that's a very important response for us as animals, because this goes back, this amygdala part of our brain goes very back to when we were reptiles. That's why they call it the reptilian brain. And this is the cause for a lot of our problems, because this amygdala fires and we react. And we react sometimes before our prefrontal cortex gets involved. The next layer after the amygdala, we have the hippocampus and these other parts, and we call that the limbic system. And that's we call that the mammalian brain, because when we evolved from reptiles to mammals, we added this part of our brain. That's why mammals are smarter than reptiles. And that so this part of the brain is responsible for emotion. We see something or something experiences, we experience something and it causes us to have fear or to have happiness or to be excited. These kind of emotions are established in that part of the brain. And what modern science is teaching us is that trauma is stored in these different parts of the brain, the limbic system, and even the brain stem, and even the vagus nerve that goes down through our body. Trauma is stored in our body. Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, who wrote the famous book Body Keeps the Score, a very good book that I recommend on healing from trauma, says that CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, is ineffective for 70% of trauma patients. And I think we can consider ourselves all as trauma patients. Trauma is at the root of our addictive behavior. And even if it's not childhood trauma that's caused our addictive behavior has caused us trauma along the way, such that our recovery needs to be trauma-based recovery in order to be fully effective, I believe. And so many of us have done therapy, and we felt like it's been ineffective because it's been CBT is the most common therapy, and it's talk therapy, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and so it's involving your prefrontal cortex. Well, if your trauma and all your problems are stored in the other parts of the brain where you have these reactions that you don't even fully comprehend in your logical thinking brain, because they're done in at the emotional level or at the at this amygdala level or at the emotional level, you're having these responses, and we need to heal there in order to become fully capable of managing our behavior the way we want to. So I talk about these three levels of healing. The first level is kind of mostly just motivation, and most of us are, if we're here, we're highly motivated, and we've probably been highly motivated in the past, and maybe it hasn't worked. And some people can overcome sexual compulsive behavior just with this first level of motivation, but it's difficult. And I think, as this diagram shows, I think the 12-step programs and a lot of the CBT therapy and like your buddy partners and like your software that your sight blocking software that keeps you from porn sites and or accountability software that your accountability partner has access to keep you from acting out. I call that that's like first level of recovery. And then second level of recovery is more effective, and that's the skills to what to do in that moment when we're very tempted, you know. What to do in that moment that our amygdala response is when we feel that fight or flight or freeze response, how to handle trigger that's driving us towards sexually acting out. How we can handle triggers in that moment is the second level healing. And sometimes if we get good therapy, it can go into that second level, but rarely past that. And then the third level is where we get the really deep healing, where we're healing our inner wounded child, we're healing our trauma, we're healing our attachments, healing our attachment wounds, our abandonment fears, all of these really, really deep, deep issues that are deeper than just in the prefrontal cortex. We're going to cover all of these levels of healing in this program. That's the aim. And so come with us on this journey. That first level is the white knuckling, and we can get, you know, 6 months of sobriety white knuckling, but we're on the verge of failure if we haven't done that second level and third level healing. Or we can get sober from our sexual compulsive behavior for a while, but we're not really healthy, and we're angry, and we're maybe switching addictions in terms of maybe escaping. Now, if we can't escape with porn, we're going to escape with alcohol, or we're going to escape with eating or some other unhealthy behavior. And chances are the sexual compulsive behavior might come back over time if we haven't healed that to that second or third level. So it's a practice. We are going to develop this skill, and it's neuroplasticity, and we're going to heal our brain little by little through this program. We're going to heal our brain. They say neurons that fire together wire together, and so when you build patterns of what to do when you get triggered, and you develop those patterns, then those patterns get dug in as pathways in your brain, and it just happens automatically in the future. I forgot to say the bit about automation. I'll add that next time. We automate because it's our prefrontal cortex requires a lot of calories to run and a lot of energy and manpower, and so in order to limit how much our prefrontal cortex is running, we automate all these other reactions. That's why you might drive home and 30 minutes later get home and think, what did I just do? Because you weren't really aware of what was going on. Your brain's kind of automated this function, and so your prefrontal cortex doesn't need to be working all that time when you're driving home because you've automated it. And we've automated responses. We've automated responses to when we feel rejected, to when we feel lonely, to when we feel bored. We've automated how to get better or get past these negative emotions. And we've automated through destructive means a lot of times. And so we're going to develop this skill. We're going to heal our brains and develop a skill of develop the skills that we need and the healing that we need to fix our brains. I'm oversaying that. So the first step and how we're going to do this is mindfulness. And studies have shown how mindfulness, just simple mindfulness, can get us past this level one into level two healing. If all we do is just mindfulness, we're into level two. And what we're going to do is on a daily basis, 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, we're going to do mindfulness, and we're going to go into a guided meditation next, and that will teach us the basics of mindfulness. And I want this to be a daily practice, at least 10 minutes or more. And our goal is, through this mindfulness, is to just expand this window of tolerance, so that expand this, to disrupt this pattern that's, we automatically go from trigger to this, and we can get our prefrontal cortex involved, and we can get our thought processing involved and think of different ways to react instead of the automated way. And mindfulness is going to help us develop these new neural pathways and heal our brains in order to do this. So they say that 15 seconds, if we can hang on for 15 seconds, that's the difference. That's the difference between successful and failure in this recovery, is if when a negative emotion comes, if instead of going to the automated way that we deal with how to get rid of that negative emotion in unhealthy ways, if we can tolerate that for up to 15 seconds on average, then and expand that window of tolerance, so now we can think through. Just 15 seconds on average, they say, is enough to make the difference most of the time. Okay.